We're going to start reading from Matthew 25,
verses
13 to 30. Parable of the talents. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. For it is like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves to him and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents, he gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more, saying, "Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said to him, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid. I went away and hid your talents. I hid it in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered him, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow. You knew I gather where I have not scattered seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank. And on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And throw out that worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus is the man who went on the journey. He ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of his Father. But before he went on his journey, he entrusted his possessions to his own slaves. Not just to slaves, but to his own slaves. Who are his slaves? We are his slaves. Amen. And it doesn't just say he gave his possessions to them. It says he entrusted his possessions to them. He was entrusting something very valuable. Something he expected them to do something with. He entrusted his possessions to them. And what did he entrust to them? Talents. 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. In the days of Jesus, a talent was a measure of money. It was 46 kilograms of silver. So that means 1 talent was worth a lot of money. It was worth probably a few years of wages. So a talent represented something of high value. So if the talents were a measure of money in the days of Jesus, is that what they represent today? Did Jesus give any money to his disciples before he left on his journey? No, he didn't. So do the talents represent natural abilities? Well, Jesus said, to him who has, more shall be given. But he who does not have, what he thinks he has will be taken away. So if the talents meant natural giftings, That would mean that the more natural giftings we have, the better we will be treated by Jesus. But that doesn't make sense. Because the Bible says that God deliberately chooses the ungifted people. He chooses the poor and the ungifted to shame the rich and the gifted. So the talents do not represent natural giftings. So what do they represent? What did Jesus give to his disciples just before he left to go on his journey? Something that was of great value. Let's go to the account of the road of Emmaus. Let's go to the account of the road to Emmaus, where the disciples were on the road to Emmaus. Luke 24, verses 25 to 27. Jesus came alongside two men as they walked. The disciples were despondent and sad. Because of what had happened to Jesus. They were expecting him to redeem Israel, but now he was dead. But then Jesus came alongside and walked with them. But they did not recognize him. And in Luke 24:25-27, Jesus said to them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and then to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and from all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. What was Jesus giving them? Something of great value. He was giving them the true knowledge of God through a personal revelation of himself as the Christ of God. The Christ of the Old Testament. Jesus is called Christ. Christ was not his surname. Christ is his title. The Old Testament has many pictures of the Christ. Pictures that point to Jesus Christ and are fulfilled in him. He was the manna that fell in the wilderness. The manna was a picture of what the Christ would be like. And when we understand that Jesus was that manna, then we start to get revelation from God. Spiritual revelation. And we look to see how the Israelites ate the manna. Is how we are to feed on Christ, our manna, today. Jesus was the prophet like Moses who was to come. He would be the leader that takes his people out of Egypt. And as God said that Moses was a prophet and you should listen to him. So we should also listen to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. On Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, what was the first word that God spoke in the Bible?
Bible.
Let there be light. He spoke forth Jesus Christ. He didn't create the sun, because the sun was created on day four of creation. So on day one of creation, all God said was, let there be light. He was speaking forth Jesus into our realm. Jesus, who is the light of the world. Jesus, who is the Word of God. Jesus spoke the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, He was the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not understood it. When we read in John chapter 1 about the Word, we realize that John is speaking about Genesis chapter 1 verse 3. When God spoke, let there be light, He was talking about Jesus. Nothing could be created before the light shone. That's why it had to be spoken on day one. And the same with the new creation. We cannot come to the faith until the light of God shines into our darkness. Amen. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. This is a picture of us in our natural state. We are formless and void and in darkness. But we need the light of God to be spoken forth into our hearts. God who said light shall come out of darkness has shone into our hearts the light of the glory of God in the face of Christ. A person cannot be saved until the light shines into their darkness. Amen. These are all pictures. Jesus is the Christ. And when Jesus was beginning with Moses, Moses is the first vital. He was taking out all these things and showing them how He fulfilled them. He was giving them a personal revelation of Himself. Not head knowledge, heart knowledge, the knowledge of the Holy One. In Proverbs 9 verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The knowledge of the Holy One. This is the most precious thing we have. And this is what the talents represent. The true knowledge of God, given by a revelation of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. John 17 verse 3. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. To receive a talent means we are receiving something of heavenly treasure. We are receiving knowledge and understanding of God Himself through a revelation of Jesus Christ from the Scriptures. John 1 verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. None of us can approach God the Father in our own efforts. But Jesus, His own Son, has come in order to give us heavenly treasure, the riches of the personal knowledge of God Himself. Amen. In John 14, verses 7-9, Jesus said, "If you had known me, you would have known the Father. From now on you know Him and have seen Him." Philip said to Him, "Lord, show us the Father, and that is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, yet you do not really know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." Amen. When we receive a revelation of Jesus Christ, it does something to our spirits and souls. When Jesus entrusts His possessions to us, that will have a marked effect upon our lives. Luke 24 verse 32. They said to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while He was speaking to us on the road, whilst He was opening the Scriptures to us?" Have you ever experienced the burning that they experienced? When you're reading the Word, and all of a sudden something in the Word opens up, and you see that what you're reading about is actually talking about Jesus Christ, but it's hidden in the Old Testament. When you start to receive that revelation, it's like when God's light starts to shine into our hearts, and we experience that burning in our hearts, because we are receiving heavenly treasure. We are receiving the knowledge of the Most High. Amen. I remember a time in my life when I went through a very difficult time, and I was rather downcast and sad. And unbeknownst to me, Jesus came alongside me. I didn't see Him, but He revealed to me how great His love was for me. The scripture Romans 5 verse 8 came into my mind. We said, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." As I considered that word, I suddenly saw it. I didn't need to become perfect in order for Jesus to love me. God loved me because he decided to love me. I didn't have to earn his love. It was whilst I was yet a sinner that Christ died for me. And when I realized that God loved me just because he decided to love me, I looked up to the heavens, and all of a sudden I understood. I received revelation of Christ's love for me. And it felt like there was divine love flowing into my being. I was crying, I had tears, because I just sensed that God loved me and it was in my heart. I'm not talking about head knowledge. I'm talking about revelation knowledge. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Such revelation will change your life. It will enrich every aspect of your life. Because I received a revelation of Christ's love for me, I have been able to love others with the same love. Before I had this experience, I was quite a hard-hearted individual. I knew I was supposed to love people, but I found it quite difficult to do so, because I didn't really know the love of God in my heart personally. That's why it's so important for believers to receive a revelation of God's love. Because that revelation will then enrich everything you do. Because you are receiving a talent from God. Something of great value. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 5 and 6. Paul says, in everything you were enriched in him. In all your speech and in all your knowledge, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. When you receive a revelation of the love of God, it will affect your speech. You will no longer be cursing people. Because when we love people, we cannot curse them. We won't want to put them down with our words. We will love them and we will speak grace to them. Amen. After meeting his disciple, the two disciples, Jesus disappeared. And the two disciples hurried back to the other disciples to tell them the great news. Jesus is alive. We have seen him. And as they came back to their own, Jesus himself again came to amongst them all. And he then did the exact same thing again. He then entrusted the same riches to his own disciples. Luke 24, verses 44-45. And he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you whilst I was still with you. that all things written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Has your mind been opened by God? Do you have understanding of the word? Do you have the knowledge of God? The true knowledge of God is the most valuable thing that exists. It cannot be bought or gained by our own efforts. It will only come to a certain type of person. To those who seek after it. God will never reveal himself to those people who do not really want it. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Amen. The reason many of us do not know the Lord as we should, because too often we are interested in seeking the things of this world rather than seeking for the heavenly treasure, which is only to be found in Jesus Christ. The Bible records he gave to one slave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Why the difference? Why was there a difference? Why didn't he give everybody 5 talents? Well, the Bible says he gave each according to his own ability. It is unfortunate that in today's church, few of us have ability to receive heavenly treasure. We have little ability to receive heavenly treasure. Our ears are closed. We are unable to hear what the Spirit says to the church. In John 8:43, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word." Well, they were hearing Jesus with their natural ears, but they could not hear with their spiritual ears. Are your spiritual ears closed, or have they been opened? Have they been pierced through by the sword of the Spirit? Or are they calloused and cannot hear anything? Jesus was trying to enrich them with talents from heaven, but they had no ears to hear what he was saying. There are many people like this in the church today who only get the 1 talent. They hear enough just to come to the faith, but they then leave it at that. They do not then seek after the Lord in order to get to know him. Maybe someone tells them, "Pray this prayer and you'll be saved." And when you're saved, you're guaranteed to go to heaven. So you think, okay, I'll pray the prayer, because then I'm guaranteed to go to heaven. But then they, why would they seek after God? If they think they're guaranteed heaven. Effectively, they bury the one talent they had in the soil of this world. They have no desire to seek after God. Instead, they invest their lives into the things of this world. They bury their talent in the ground of this world. They think they're saved. They're going to heaven. After all, they received a talent from Jesus. But they are in for a shock at the judgment. The man with the one talent seems to think that he will be received by the master. But it does not go that way. And the one who had received the one talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid. I went away and hid your talent. See, here is what is yours." This man knew very little of his master. He only knew him as a hard man. That's all he knew of him. He had not received revelation of God's love. He didn't know anything else about God, because he never sought after God. He knew something, very little about God. And he just buried his talent in the ground. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter says, "Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior." That's not a suggestion, it's a command. Grow in grace and in knowledge. God is expecting us to grow in grace and knowledge. He is expecting us to bear fruit in our lives. If we are not moving forward in the things of God, it's quite likely we are actually going backwards. And the man with the one talent assumed he would be received by his master. But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I do not sow. You knew I gather where I scattered no seed. You ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And upon my arrival, I would have received what was my own with interest." Imagine standing before the judgment seat. And Jesus Christ says that to us. It will happen to many people on that day. May we not be among those people. Jesus says the man should have invested his money with the bankers. Who are bankers? Bankers are those who regularly handle great amounts of money. In the context of the parable, we could say bankers represent those who have many of these heavenly talents. Men who have taken the time to study the Word of God. Who have allowed the Holy Spirit to interpret the Word of God to them. Spiritual bankers are those who know the Word. They have taken the time to possess the true knowledge of the Holy One. If we find it difficult to understand the Word, to grow in the knowledge of God, then let us go to those who do have that knowledge and receive from them. There are few people, there are not many people like this in the world. The world is full of false teachers and false prophets. But if we find someone who preaches the true gospel, who has taken the time to study the word for themselves, someone who possesses heavenly treasure, let us listen to such people. Let us take advantage of sermons they preach, read books they write, so that we will have, at least when our master returns, we can have some interest we have earned upon the talent. It may not be such a good return as the man who had the 2 or the 5 talents. But at least we will not appear before the judgment seat empty-handed. God told the Israelites to appear before him in Jerusalem 3 times a year. And he said, no man is to appear before me empty-handed. When we appear before his judgment seat, Jesus says, do not be empty-handed. What happens if we appear before him empty-handed? With no offering to give to him. Is he going to accept us? No. He's going to cast us out. Jesus said, therefore, take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And throw out that worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Even the little that he had is taken away from him. And he is cast away. All because he never sought to grow in the grace and knowledge. He didn't seek to know Christ as Christ is. He didn't seek to know Jesus. But what about the servants who were given the 2 talents or the 5? These are those people who come to the faith with a hungry heart. They have realized there is nothing of value in this life. They pursue Jesus wholeheartedly. Some people come to Christ, but it seems to have no impact on their lives. They are like the seed sown in the stony soil. There's so many stones, the plant cannot develop roots. So there is some growth, but there is not a good root system to support the growth. And when the sun shines in its heat, when they go through trials and tribulations in life, they soon fall away. These are the people like the one talent. All the people whose seed was sown in the thorny grounds. The thorns will grow up and choke the plant and make it unfruitful. Jesus says, if any tree bears no fruit, he will cut it off and put it to the side. This end will be for burning. But the seed which fell in the good soil, this is representing the ones who got the 2 talents or the 5 talents. The soil of their hearts is free of weeds and stones. And the word of God finds a home deep in their hearts. Amen. Do we ever find good soil just by luck, by chance? If you want to sow seed in your field, would you just go out there and start sowing seed? What would you do first? You would take your hoe and start digging, removing the stones, removing the weeds. And it's hard work, isn't it? Takes a long time, but it is completely necessary, so that when you do come to sow your seed, the seed can go into good soil, and then it will produce a mighty harvest. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Has God's hoe ever been stuck into your heart? Has God ever wielded his hoe into the soil of your heart? God takes us through persecutions and hardships. This is him plowing the heart, the soil of our hearts up. We need God to plow our hearts. Because if we do not go through difficulties and trials, our hearts will remain hard, and the seed of God's word will find no home there. Those who receive the 2 talents and the 5 talents are those who have been through trials and tribulations. And the soil of their heart has become good. They have responded to the discipline of the Lord. Not by complaining, but by praising the Lord in the midst. And so their hearts have become soft, and they have received the 2 talents, maybe even the 5 talents. Those who receive the five talents are those who have the deepest persecution, who experience the whole of God digging very deeply into their hearts. But the hoe goes down so deep that the seed of the word of God can go deep also. And so a great harvest can be produced. An example of someone who received the five talents would be the Apostle Paul. Remember, Paul was on the road to Damascus, ready to persecute the children of the church. And suddenly a light from heaven shone, knocked him off the horse, and Jesus appeared to him. And he said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Paul said, or Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Imagine the shock in Saul's life. That was like God's hoe going deep into the soil of his heart. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." It shocked Paul. It shocked him so much. He did not eat food or drink water for 3 days. His whole life had been completely changed. From that moment on, he was a different man. He left his old life behind completely. And he prepared himself for walking with Christ. He received the five talents because he had the ability to receive it. Because the soil of his heart had been dug up by God. To everyone who has, more shall be given. The man who had the five talents gained five more. And he had 10 talents. But then Jesus says, "Take the one talent and give it to the one who has the 10. We may think, well, why didn't he give it to the one with the 2 talents? Make it more equal or fair. Jesus says, "To him who has, more shall be given." Those who wholeheartedly embrace Christ, who wholeheartedly leave their old life behind, and who run after Christ and seek God, then have the ability to receive more. And Jesus will reward such people. To him who has, more shall be given. And he will have an abundance. Do you want to be a person like that? To have an abundance of heavenly treasure. Philippians 3 verse 8. Paul said, "I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ." "I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ." Is that our attitude? Do we count everything from our old life as rubbish? compared to the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Is the knowledge of Jesus Christ excellent to your soul? If it is not, I fear you may not know him as you ought. The knowledge of Jesus Christ is more precious than gold or diamonds. The riches that are found in Christ are unsearchable. Ephesians 3 verse
8.
To me who am the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I might preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Do you have the unsearchable riches of Christ? What a tragedy it is when believers have the opportunity to receive such riches, but they are unable to because the soil in their hearts is too hard, too full of stones and weeds. And instead we get distracted with the things of this world. The more we come to know Jesus, the more we will want to know about him. Because once we taste of the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, the more we shall desire it. Psalm 42 verses 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the waters. So my soul pants for you, O God. Are you hungry for the things of God? Are you thirsty for the true knowledge of Christ? The scripture says, he who received the 5 talents immediately went and traded with them and gained 5 more. The same with the man with the 2 talents. They wasted no time. They immediately started trading. It is good to have a sense of urgency about the things of God. Jesus is coming soon. Are we ready for him? They immediately went to work. What does it mean to trade our talents? Firstly, I would say, is investing our hearts and our souls into the pursuit of knowing Christ. Do you know Christ? Or do you know about Christ? Remember, Paul said in Philippians 3 verse 10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Our faith is not just rules and regulations. It is a love relationship with Jesus Christ. Taking the time to sit at his feet with his word open in our laps, seeking to know him, seeking to know what the Bible teaches us of him. seeking after him. And secondly, to invest what we know of God into others. Imparting the treasure which is Christ to others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, we are as poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. Do we, as leaders in the house of God, do we enrich our people in the church? Not by preaching prosperity and running after human riches. No, by teaching accurately the things concerning Christ. Getting the heavenly treasure ourselves. And then giving it to our people. Enriching the people who listen to us. Amen.
Amen.
The one who had received the 5 talents came up and said, I have gained 5 more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Their whole lives have been aiming, building up to this moment. They have not looked for the things of this world. They have not built up their treasure on earth, where thieves break in and steal. They have laid up their treasure in heaven. They have not sought for the praise of men, but they have sought for the praise which comes from God. They have waited for the praise that really matters. Well done, good and faithful slave. Imagine hearing those words on that day. It will be the greatest day ever. Maybe you may be sitting here thinking, well, I think I've been negligent in these matters. I haven't realized that I need to be in the Word of God. I didn't realize the importance of studying the Word. I didn't realize I needed to know God. What hope is there for me? We are still in the day of salvation. Christ has not yet come. We are still living in a time that at any moment we can repent and change. Change the course of the whole of our lives and start seeking God for who He is. Not seeking God for blessings and money, but seeking God for who He is. Amen?
Amen.
Let us learn from the example of the talents. Let us be of those who seek with the Lord with all of our hearts. And in seeking, we find. We find the true knowledge of the Holy One. We receive the talents of the heavenly treasure. receiving the knowledge of the Most High. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray.